Let's turn in our Bible to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, and we'll read just one verse. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, we'll read one verse. Before reading the verse, I'll give a brief background to the passage in chapter 15 of Acts of the Apostles. There was dispute within the church. The church was young the first few years. Before then, the church comprised mainly of Jews. But after the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially through the ministry of Paul the Apostle, the gospel spread to non-Jews who were generically described as Gentiles. And so Jews had a culture and a tradition and a law that you must be circumcised. And so Jews who were Christians were asking the Gentiles who had become born again to also ensure they were circumcised. So there was dispute. And this matter was taken from the church in Antioch by Paul and Barnabas to the apostles in Jerusalem. And they met, they waited on the Lord, they sought the face of the Lord for direction, and they came up with this conclusion, which I will read in verse 28. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 15, verse 28. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Verse 29, that you abstain from things offered to idols, from blood, from things strangled, and from sexual immorality. If you keep yourselves from these, you will do well. Fare well. I'll read the first part of verse 28 again. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. From this phrase, it is clear that the early church, the apostles, elders, the leaders, and the disciples walked with the Holy Spirit, moved with the Holy Spirit, depended on the Holy Spirit. This is something that is missing amongst present-day Christians, especially because we do not understand the Holy Spirit. And that's why today we'll be taking part two of our theme for this month, which is Thank You, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We started on Sunday, and throughout this month, both Sunday at the Jesus Celebration Service of New Covenant Church Agudi Center, the third of the three services, and every Tuesday in our Bible study, we'll be considering this theme, Thank You, Holy Spirit. In part one, we traced the origin of the Holy Spirit. Many people felt that the Holy Spirit was a New Testament occurrence, but the Holy Spirit had been in the Old Testament. There is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. That's why we are asked in Matthew 28, verse 19, that when people give their lives to Jesus and confess Jesus as Savior, as Lord, we'll baptize them in the name of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the statement that we generally call in the body of Christ as the grace in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14, 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and 14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. In that scripture, it talks about God the Father, the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, communion of the Holy Spirit. Talking about Trinity again, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. God the Father is in heaven. God the Son came to earth, showed the way of salvation, ascended, resurrected after his crucifixion, and ascended, and he has been in heaven ever since. But on the 10th day after his ascension, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was sent by the Father, and is the Holy Spirit that is with us now to do the work of the Father until rapture, when we will all go back to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Holy Spirit is with us, and we need, as Christians, as believers, to recognize his role in our lives, to relate with him, and to take advantage of him. It was in the beginning, right from Genesis. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So right from creation, the Holy Spirit had been there. All through the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was there. And in the New Testament, we see him. Actually, the book described as the Acts of the Apostles should better be described as the Acts of the Holy Spirit using the disciples. So the Holy Spirit was given to us on the day of Pentecost, and he remains with us to date. And in concluding, in part one, we emphasized that anyone that does not relate with the Holy Spirit as he ought to will be a believer who is like an orphan. That's why Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 16 to 18, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. Any Christian who has given his or her life to the Lord Jesus, who does not know the Holy Spirit, does not recognize the Holy Spirit, does not relate with the Holy Spirit as he ought to, will be living his Christian life as an orphan, helpless, comfortless, without direction, without help. So we should not be without help. We should understand the Holy Spirit and relate with him as the Holy Spirit. So if you missed part one, please send for the recording, or watch online through the normal channels, Facebook and YouTube. Today in part two, what we want to consider is the personality of the Holy Spirit. Personality of the Holy Spirit. Don't forget, I said, the Holy Spirit is the third person in the Godhead. The Holy Spirit is God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so, as God, the Holy Spirit has a personality. He has a nature. And if we are going to relate with him as we ought to, we must understand him. We must know his nature. We must know his characteristics. And so I trust the Lord that this evening we'll be considering a few of the characteristics that make up the personality of the Holy Spirit. The first, let's check that from Acts of the Apostles chapter 13. We'll read the first two verses. Acts of the Apostles chapter 13, verses 1 and 2. Now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers: Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manahim, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, verse 2. And as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. The word I want to emphasize is, the Holy Spirit said. The Holy Spirit said. In other words, the Holy Spirit speaks. He can speak. Just like we were made in the image of God and we have mouth to speak, the Holy Spirit is God. He also can speak. We can see in the church that was Antioch, in the regular fellowship, in a prayer meeting, the Bible says the Holy Spirit said to them. So the Holy Spirit can speak. The question I want to put to you, my listeners, today: do you listen when the Holy Spirit speaks? Do you hear when the Holy Spirit speaks? Many of us, when we're in the presence of God, we are fond of doing all the talking. We are fond of monopolizing the communication. I was like that. In my early years as a child of God, I get to God's presence, sometimes waiting on the Lord, on regular or daily praying, do all the talking. It was long before I learned that God, the Holy Spirit, is polite. When you talk, He listens. It is only when you listen that He will talk. If you do all the talking, He's very polite. He will just watch you. Do all the talking. But if you recognize that He also can speak, if you deliberately make up your mind to listen to Him, be quiet in His presence, oh, the Holy Spirit will speak mysteries and wonders to you. What you never knew. No wonder the Bible says in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 3, Jeremiah 33 verse 3, it says, "Call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you do not know." The Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, usually will relate with us through the Holy Spirit. So if God wants to communicate with us great and mighty things that we do not know, usually it will speak through the Holy Spirit. So we must know how to relate, how to commune with the Holy Spirit so that we can hear Him. The Holy Spirit speaks. It should be your decision, it should be my decision to try to listen to Him on a daily basis, to try to listen for His voice. He wants to speak. Many things you do not know. Great and mighty things are hidden from you. There was a day I was in the presence of God many years ago now. And the Lord spoke to me. He told me about my father. What He told him, what He did for him, and what He said to him before I was born. And He said, "This is," and He gave me some instructions. A few days or weeks after, I went to my father. I had the opportunity of meeting my biological father. He was still alive then. He's been dead now for 18 years. So you know that what I'm talking about will be over 20 years ago. And I went, I said, "Daddy, this is what God said to me. This is what God said to me. This is what God said to me." Immediately I spoke to my father. He left the chair and prostrated on the floor, thanking God. He said, "You could never have known what you said if God did not speak to you. Because God said it to me before you were born." Great and mighty things you do not know. The Holy Spirit knows. The Holy Spirit is like the executive of the Godhead. The decision taken by a Trinity is executed, is carried out by the Holy Spirit. And so He will speak to give you direction. He will speak to give you instruction. He will speak to encourage you. He will speak to warn you. He will speak to rebuke you. He will speak to correct you. Are you listening? Or you are always doing the talking? He's very polite. When you do the talking, He will just keep quiet and listen. But when you listen, He will speak. So the first characteristic in the personality of the Holy Spirit that we have talked about is that He can speak. The second, which will be taken from John chapter 16, verse 13. St. John's Gospel, chapter 16, verse 13. "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come." What was described in this, I've just read out the New King James translation. What was described as, "He will not speak on His own authority," in Authorized King James was described as, "He shall not speak of Himself." So one characteristic in the personality of the Holy Spirit is when he talks, he doesn't talk about himself. He speaks about God the Father. He speaks about God the Son. He glorifies God the Father. He glorifies Jesus Christ. I was thinking about this, and I said, perhaps this is why the Holy Spirit is largely overlooked. This is why the Holy Spirit is largely misunderstood. This is why the Holy Spirit is unnoticed. This is why the Holy Spirit is unrecognized. Because he doesn't draw attention to himself. Anything he says concerning God. He says concerning the Lord Jesus. He explains the scripture to you. He talks to you about things to come. He doesn't talk about himself. So you may not know him. He may go unnoticed in your life because he doesn't draw attention to himself. I'll read that passage again, John 16:13. However, when the Spirit of truth has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, or he shall not speak of himself. But whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. So the Holy Spirit speaks not about himself, but he speaks about God the Father. He speaks about God the Son. The third characteristic is that the Holy Spirit can hear. Not only can he speak, he can hear. When you speak, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 5, verse 4. Why it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. Ananias and Sapphira told the church, I'm going to sell my land, and whatever I get from it, I'm giving everything to the church. They sold the land for, let us say, 10 million naira, and they gave 6 million naira to the church, keeping, for illustration purposes, 4 million. And Peter said, did you sell for 6 million? I said, we sold for 6 million. The husband said that, and because he lied, he died. Shortly after that, the woman, the wife, came, and Peter said, your husband said you sold the land. How much did you sell it for? She also said, 6 million. He said, are you sure you sold it for 6 million? She said, yes, we sold for 6 million. She also died instantly. Why? They lied to God. Verse 4, the last sentence says, you have not lied to men, but to God. Verse 9, Peter now talking to Sapphira, the wife. Verse 9, then Peter said to her, how is it that you have agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? So you see that God and the Holy Spirit were used interchangeably. Peter was saying that the husband and the wife, the couple, lied to the Holy Spirit. What that shows is that the Holy Spirit hears when you talk. He knows when you lie. He knows when you are saying the truth. So the Holy Spirit can hear. What that means is that you and I should talk to him. We should communicate with him. What we describe as the grace, 2 Corinthians 13:14 says, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion, another translation says, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, is a communion. Communion is deeper. It means relating with. It is from that word that communication came from. When you relate with somebody, when you commune with somebody, you communicate with that person. You speak to him, he speaks to you. So the Holy Spirit can hear when you talk. I know some people have issues with this. I know some books that have taught that when you pray, you only pray to the Father. I'm sure some of you have heard that. That you pray to the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is true. But you can also pray to Jesus Christ. You can pray to the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus said, whatever you say to me, I will do. Jesus talking in John. Essentially, yes, a prayer in terms of supplication and request and desire is to God the Father in the name of Jesus. But there's no protocol within the Godhead because there's no competition. There's no friction. The three are one. When you talk to the Father, the Holy Spirit hears. When you talk to Jesus, the Holy Spirit hears. When you talk to the Holy Spirit, the Father hears. God the Son hears. So, even if you don't want to pray formally as to kneel down and say, Holy Spirit, you can commune. Dear Lord, I've lost my way. Should I turn right or left? Commune. He can hear. If you talk, he will answer you. Oh, my BSc certificate is missing. My employers have just said I should present the original latest by next Monday. Today is Tuesday. Lord, where did I put that certificate? I've not seen it since I moved from my last house to this present house. Dear Holy Spirit, please, where is the certificate? It will talk to you. You remember when last you presented it 3 years ago, you took this file out, and that file is in that cabinet. If you check below the cabinet, you will see that yellow file. That's where you kept it 3 years ago. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is all-knowing, is omniscient. Not only is he omnipotent, almighty, is omnipresent, because everywhere at the same time, is also omniscient, all-knowing. There is nothing that he does not know. So when you speak, he hears, he can reveal things to you. We have talked about the Holy Spirit can speak. He doesn't speak about himself. He speaks about God the Father, God the Son. Number three, he can hear. Number four, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30. I will read. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. So the Holy Spirit has feelings. It can be grieved by you, by what you do, by what you do not do, by what you say, by what you should not say. The Holy Spirit can be grieved. You can make him sad. And you will know if you commune, if you relate with the Holy Spirit, you will know when he's unhappy with you. When you have grieved him, you will know. I remember one day, I think this is in the book, Hello Dad, in church many years ago, we finished on a Sunday afternoon, as usual, looking forward to going home, take lunch, and rest. I got home to the closet to thank God for the service, and I felt very, very sad. I just felt something was wrong. So before I eat today, I need to sort this out. I went to the closet. Lord, what happened? Why? What did I do wrong? Why am I feeling like this? Have I grieved you? Have I done anything wrong? God was merciful. Because I spoke, he listened, he replied. Not long after I started to pray, after I entered his presence, the Lord reminded me that during the service or after the service, one of the people who came to greet me in front was a lady. And it wasn't the time of social distancing. So I was greeting everybody and I greeted her. Immediately I greeted her, I remembered what she did that offended me. And I was not happy with her. And I didn't think anything big about it. The Holy Spirit said to me, your heart was not and is not right towards that sister of yours. I got on my knees. I said, Lord, I didn't know I did that. Please, I had some things she did and I wasn't happy, but I thought I'd forgiven her. I thought I'd removed that from my heart. I knelt down and I asked for forgiveness. Immediately, the peace of God came back. The joy of the Lord came back. You can grieve the Holy Spirit. One day, we were launching a new center. I remember one of the centers. And we launched the center. And I got back home. It was also a Sunday afternoon, many, many years ago. Later in the day, I was in God's presence and I was talking. And the Holy Spirit said, what you said during the church dedication is an element of pride inside of your heart. I said, Lord, I knelt down. I said, Lord, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. What am I saying? The Holy Spirit can be grieved. If you will listen to him, if he will let you know if you have grieved him. Because you need him. If you grieve him, you won't be able to take advantage of his presence, of his role in your life. So the Holy Spirit can be grieved. I've spoken about four things concerning the personality of the Holy Spirit. He can speak. He doesn't speak about himself. He speaks about God the Father and to glorify him, and God the Son to glorify him. Number three, he can hear. Number four, he can be grieved because he has feelings. Number five, and the final, you can quench the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. I'll read verse 19. One of the shortest sentences in the Bible. Perhaps, maybe after Jesus wept, this will be the shortest. I'm not very sure now, but it will be one of the shortest. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 19. It reads, do not quench the Spirit, full stop. It means you can quench the Holy Spirit. To quench means to extinguish, to suppress or subdue. And this happens when he's been talking to you consistently, and consistently you have been disobeying him, you have been resisting him, you have been doing things he asked you not to do. You have grieved him so much that you will extinguish his fire in your life. May that not be your portion. This sin is not common nowadays, but in those days it was common. Leprosy. I'm sure you have heard about lepers colony. Those who are lepers are usually taken outside the community. They have a particular place they stay outside the town, outside the city. One of the things somebody who is leprous faces is the hand no longer has feelings and the legs. So they will put their hand in fire and they will not know. So that hand will be burnt without them feeling the heat. It's the same way for somebody who has quenched the Spirit. He will be in trouble without knowing. until the fire burns. Because the Holy Spirit is the one that gets, that is trouble, don't go there. That is bad, don't do it. If you do this, you will be arrested. You will be charged to court. You will be in jail. Don't do this. You will lose your job. You will lose your reputation. The Holy Spirit will always warn. He is very patient. But if you continue to be recalcitrant, continue to disobey and ignore him, do what he asks you to do, you can quench him. And I would like to tell you, my dear brothers and sisters, it will be a sorry state for a believer, a Christian, who quenches the Holy Spirit. It's a very, very terrible state. When you no longer have the Holy Spirit to warn you, to talk to you, to guide you, you will be in sin you don't know. People will be making jest of you don't even know. That's why you see some people in sin. They laugh, they jest with anybody. They no longer have any feeling because they have quenched the Holy Spirit. Are you here listening to me today? Have you quenched the fire of the Holy Spirit in your life? Quickly apologize. Repent and return to Him today. So that you don't lose the advantage you have with the Holy Spirit of communing with Him. The Holy Spirit is a personality. He has feelings. We should relate with Him, understanding His personality, knowing His feelings, so that we can ultimately benefit from our relationship with Him. I pray that as we continue in this series, the Holy Spirit will continue to be real in your life, so that you and I can say, "Thank you, Holy Spirit." I'll take this song, which I'm sure many of you know. If you do not know, try and learn it. It will help you in relating with the Holy Spirit as you continue in your personal life. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, we need you. Come, sweet Spirit, we pray. Come in your strength and your power. Come in your own special way. May the Holy Spirit continue to abide with you in Jesus' name. Amen.